the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, welcome to the Monday morning podcast. I just finished watching the Sixers debacle against Atlanta. Never has a team had this much talent and been so hard to watch at the end of a basketball game than the Sixers. But, you know, I'll say something I said during the week on television is that sometimes you need a really bad fight to realize it's time to get a divorce. And you really needed that ending and this series for the Embiid-Simmons relationship to break. It just doesn't work. Simmons can't be on the floor. You know, Embiid can't stay healthy and is a bit of a turnover mess sometimes at the end of games in the half court set. It doesn't work, but they're so talented that you'll keep talking yourself into it. I compare it to a Hollywood relationship. Oh, they're both beautiful. Oh, their careers are on fire. How does this marriage not work? Well, probably because, you know, they don't sacrifice or they're not committed to each other. And I feel like with Embiid and Simmons, it's just two ships passing in the night. Neither game works for the other. They don't like each other. It's well documented during the All-Star game. Both made the All-Star game. They wouldn't fly together on a private jet. They don't like each other. The games don't fit. The personalities don't fit. But they're so gifted that you talk yourself into keeping them together for years and years. You needed this. You needed to lose to a marginally talented Atlanta team. You needed to look ugly at the end of games. It's just a basketball team that situationally, when you have to take Ben Simmons off the floor, you know, Seth Curry becomes far more valuable than Ben Simmons at the end of games, especially if you're trailing by a few points. So, you know, I watch the Sixers and I think, hey, we had to break this thing up. This was not a championship team. Championship talent, but not championship chemistry. And Doc Rivers will take a ton of heat for it because whenever a team loses games close, the coach takes the hit. You know, people killing Quinn Snyder because he didn't go small in the series against the Clippers ever. But the reality is his best player is Donovan Mitchell, and he was playing at about 80%. Well, so Mike Conley's not healthy. Donovan Mitchell's hurt. You're not going to beat a Clipper team, even with Kawhi Leonard out. Paul George was virtually unguardable. Utah doesn't have the personnel. So we tend to blame these coaches, and they're certainly imperfect. But the Philadelphia situation, how many coaches are we going to fire before we realize Simmons and Embiid, talented, it's a bad marriage. On the court, off the court, it just doesn't work. And you needed to lose this series, and the way they lost it was perfect. Ugly, more talent, had leads, and little young Trae Young carries the Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals. All right, let's bring in my friend Marcus Thompson Berry, a columnist for The Athletic. He's written books on KD and about Steph Curry. Steph Curry Golden was the first time that I knew a lot about Marcus Thompson. I think he's so connected. He's got a great way of seeing the NBA. And we'd love to have him in the volume. We just can't afford him. Shit, guy is expensive. That's all I know.
You know what I'm saying? It's about time I've been expensive in my life. You know how many times I've doled myself out for $5 in a pack of annihilators? You know?
So I'm watching that Sixers stuff. By the way, as one of the guys on the staff said, Kevin Huerter has never not been underestimated on any NBA floor he's ever entered. Kevin Huerter and Trae Young oust Ben Simmons. I mean, let's cut to the chase here. I said this on the Herd this week. This is how it had to end for the Sixers. Because we keep talking ourselves into this, Marcus, because they're so talented, and Embiid and Simmons, that we just keep talking ourselves into it's going to work. It had to end this way, in my opinion. It had to be ugly. They had to lose leads. We had to go, oh, shit, this just doesn't work. We can't keep firing coaches on this stuff.
It's like a bad breakup, right? Like, you need that real fight so you can be like, yo, we don't need to be together. I mean, it doesn't get worse than losing to Kevin Huerter. Right? Oh, like, How do you lose three times on your own floor? It's unbelievable that this team wasn't able to at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals in this year. This year, you don't have to face Brooklyn, right? You kind of got a cakewalk to the finals. It's over. It's done. Now we know it. You did it in front of Allen Iverson. That's what really hurts my heart. Allen Iverson had to sit there and watch that. You know, he dragged Aaron McKee and Eric Snow to the finals, and these dudes got the better roster and losing to the 5 seed. I mean, pray for Allen Iverson tonight, because this is hurting his heart.
Well, a better roster. I mean this. Atlanta, and I say this with all due respect, that is one of the weakest rosters I've ever seen get to a conference final. And I love Trae Young, but think about this, Marcus. They got to an Eastern Conference final, not only on the road, Trae Young had his worst shooting night in the playoffs. I mean, the fact that that happened, I mean, one thing if Trae Young shot 17 to 26 and you're like, we lost, we give up, the Wiz kid. Shit, he played poorly for all but about the last 4 minutes.
That's how you beat Philly, right? Stay close. They're going to fall apart. So look, they tricked me a little bit. They tricked me a little bit, I must admit. When Embiid totally wet the bed, it was a game 5 in Philly, and it was like, oh, he was hurt. And I'm like, this team has, they don't have the clutch gene. Like, they don't have it. You don't come back from that. Then they do it. Then they go ahead and win game 6, and it's like, all right, maybe this thing is settled. But no, you know what happened in game 6? They didn't get down to the end. It didn't come down to, we got to make plays over and over and over again in the crunch. And it happened again tonight, so Trae was terrible. And then the game was close because Kevin Huerter wouldn't stop hurting him. And next thing you know, now Philly's got to make plays. And they don't have the gene. They don't have the gene.
Nope.
Joel Embiid does not have the gene. Ben Simmons, he doesn't even have the chemistry set to discover the gene. Like, Tobias Harris was bad. Like, they don't have the player. Meanwhile, Trae Young, three for Sunday, is making all kind of plays when they matter. Like, this you got to break this up.
Well, I mean, what they always do, they blame Quinn Snyder. They, Ty Lue, without Kawhi Leonard, this Phoenix team's real. So, and Ty Lue, I thought, was masterful against Utah. But if they lose to Phoenix, people are going to say, well, you're bigger, you have more veterans. We blame coaches a lot, but let's be honest about this. Doc Rivers has lost some leads in games late.
Yes.
But a lot of it, when you have to take Ben Simmons off the floor, I mean, that's not a Doc Rivers issue. You got to shoot free throws as a guard.
No, you know what? You know why this hurts even more? It could have been Kyle Lowry. It could have been James Harden. They had a chance to make the move, but like you said, you can talk yourself into keeping them. But think, are they there in the finals if they got Kyle Lowry? Just somebody who can take over a game, who can make a big shot. Kyle Lowry's on this team, they win. And it was there for him, and they didn't pull the trigger. They didn't do whatever it took. Maybe the James Harden, I don't know. I feel like James Harden and Embiid will be – it's quite the matchup, but they didn't pull the trigger. And because they didn't pull the trigger, they're left with this. That's what makes it so much worse to me. You had the answer. You had it. It was there. You had the moment. You had the chance. You had the opportunity. And it didn't work out for whatever reason. So it's not like you can say, oh, well, we didn't know what move he could have made. No, they were right there. Kyle Lowry was waiting to go. He tied a Tampa already. So he was ready to go, and they didn't pull the trigger, and now they're going home.
So let's pivot to the Milwaukee Bucks advancing to the conference finals. So they were my pick to get to the finals and win. And I said, it's probably my savviest pick in the history of my career. I said, I don't think they're the best team, but their stars don't get hurt. And I don't trust. And I said this a month ago. I said, you start looking at all these rosters, AD and LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, Boston, Jaylen Brown got hurt. I said, I'm going to take Milwaukee to get to the finals and win because Giannis, Middleton doesn't have a history of getting hurt. PJ doesn't get hurt. Drew's been hurt a few times, but he's a pretty stocky, heady veteran, stays on the floor. But I think, so let's examine Brooklyn. A lot of this is, if they had a full unit, they would have won. They didn't. They lost. What do you make of basically Nash played 6.5 guys because I don't count Harden as a full player. He's playing on one leg. I mean, KD to me looked absolutely gassed at the end of the last two games, just carried the team. But I mean, should you play? I mean, they played basically 6 and 7 guys. That's what they played. Did you have any negative vibes on that?
It was curious to me, especially because remember Brooklyn was the like fun team, right? They played together. Remember before they got the victory, it was like a bunch of guys. Remember there was a point where D'Angelo Russell was their leader and they were making the playoffs and they had all these guys who were contributing. Don't forget about Spencer Dinwiddie, another guy who was hurt. They've gone from this kind of 10, 12 deep team to like, yo, who's at the... Who's the eighth guy on the roster? Like, who you playing?
Yeah.
Who's the eighth guy? It's weird. Remember they made this, like, DeAndre Jordan came and it was a big deal and he can't get on the court. Like, Bruce Brown is your starting center, really, but at most backup center. Like, they're living on Blake Griffin resurgence and PRP or whatever, right? Like, that was weird. It was a complete change of philosophy, but look, you know, I've covered this. I've seen this. This is part of it. When you top heavy the roster, this is part of it. We watched the Warriors go through the exact same thing where their whole situation crumbled once guys started getting hurt. They had nobody else. They were trying to.
Yeah.
I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, they were like getting dudes off the scrap heap with injuries. DeMarcus Cousins played with a quad injury.
Yeah. I mean, you're praying Quinn Cook can come up big in a playoff game. That's what you reduce Alfonso McKinney.
Yeah.
So you know, you wrote the book on KD. How do you think over the next 72 hours, what's he thinking? How's this land for him?
Oh, I think he's feeling pretty good. He has certainly acquitted himself, right? He walks away from this like, okay, yeah, KD's that guy. And if we do have any issues, it's about the rest of the people. But he walked away. I do think it was a huge, huge deal for him to play a series like that after his Achilles. I think that was a big deal. Just not only did we needed to know, but he needed to know he could do that. And you could see him at the end of that game, like he had nothing left. That was it. That was everything he had. I think that's good for him. He walks away feeling pretty good about their chances. They always have the Kyrie didn't play, James wasn't healthy, and they can run it back. It's way too early for there to be issues, right? Like it's gotta be time for that stuff to brew, but I think he's feeling pretty good. He's established himself, and nobody's blaming him. And you can't. Like, he did everything. They're playing the Eastern Conference Finals if he was a size 17. Like, that's really what it came down to. Or if James Harden wasn't, like, 240, 250.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think Kyrie and James are telling them, we will have your back next year. We will have your back next year. I guess that's the only play you got to make, but these dudes are, you know, if they're healthy, they're going to be incredible. But if they're healthy, that's the risk you make. And I don't know how they're going to fill out this roster. You're banking on Blake Griffin again, and you got to roll the dice with that. It might work, it might not.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast, proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great. FanDuel's offering users the chance to play free. No deposit required. Plus, for those folks who want to deposit, FanDuel's offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. It's sweet. Why do you play on FanDuel? Well, the FanDuel Fantasy is an easy, easy to use app. You pick a new team every game. You compete for top cash payouts. Compete against your buddies in head-to-head matchups. For new users, FanDuel's offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Just go to FanDuel.com/Cowherd. That's it. FanDuel.com/Cowherd for more info. FanDuel.com/Cowherd. They know we sent you there. FanDuel, just more ways to win. So you're a sports fan, right? That's why you're listening. But if you're considering getting in on the fun of sports gambling, I want to let you know about a great resource, the Action Network. The Action Network is where fans go when they're ready to bet smarter and turn a profit betting on sports. In fact, their free Action Network app, free, recently named the best app in sports betting. With the Action app, you can, one, see the latest picks and articles from the Action Network gambling experts. Two, compare odds from different sports books. And three, track every bet you make so you always know how your picks are doing. So, if the game means more to you, download the free Action Network app and start betting smarter. Well, I mean, if you think about it, LeBron's won titles in his second year with all his teams. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are clearly better in their second year. So, I mean, the truth about this has always sort of been, now there are exceptions when, you know, you get KD joining a championship team in Golden State, but bottom line, Marcus, is most of the time, shit, I don't care if you're starting a podcast or starting an NBA team. Your first 12 months are never your strength. So I kind of look at Brooklyn and think, you know, KD was great. Kyrie was unavailable. Harden was disappointing. Not all his fault, obviously. But I do think with James, he came into the season out of shape in Houston to prove a point. I think it's really hard, Marcus, to play yourself into shape in a season. I think I was told by a source the Lakers were really frustrated with Anthony Davis this year. They were going to have him carry the baton. He did not work out. He did not come in shape. He tried to work himself in shape. So I kind of felt like Harden. Now, Harden didn't know he was going to play with KD when he was, you know, sitting around putting on weight. But I thought Harden fell apart twice this year. And he's never done that, Marcus. He's been an 80-game guy.
Yeah, you know, he hasn't had a great seven-game history, or, like, he's had a history for kind of fading at the end of series, especially the later you go. It's, like, one of the knocks about him. He's great, but, you know, game four, game five, game six, the turnovers start picking up, the 3-4% drops. So it's interesting that he did – get some time off, and he came into the – I thought he would be good. I thought, like, okay. Because remember, he missed that spell before the playoffs, and it was like,
yep,
all right, he'll be rested more than he ever has been. But it didn't seem to work. He. You're right. He's one of those people who he's got to put in the work in the offseason and get to camp and peak, because he also seems like one of those guys who could lose his shape in the season too, right, and then, like, get it back, right? Like, you know, Draymond Green is that way, and then he's got to – have this last run toward, all right, it's March, let me get in shape, right? Like, some of those guys are like that, right. And James was very heavy. But like you said, second year, Warriors were that way. They won 73 games the second year. I mean, they won the title the first year, but they were clearly better the second year. So I do think they're in good shape, and they'll always have the benefit of somebody taking less money to go play with them. Like, that's what you're banking on. You're banking on somebody saying, hey, y'all gonna be pretty good. Like, this KD dude is amazing. Can I go play there and maybe get some, take less money and go win a championship? So I think they'll get a few guys. I just don't know. Like, you could, what stop you from running into this problem next year where somebody's hurt or somebody's not available? These aren't 25-year-olds, right? These are
good point.
KD's going to Tokyo, right? Like, so you're adding on top of this, right? Like, so it's not a guarantee you're going to be healthy. That's part of the journey, is trying to be healthy. And they've got some 30-year-old dudes with injury history. So, yeah, it was a pretty savvy pick by you, by the way. If I didn't think of it that way. Like, pick the dudes who will be there. Like, it's last person standing. It's like, yep, the battle of attrition, right? It's like, who drinks their milk? Giannis drinks his milk. It's the Wisconsin cheese. That Wisconsin cheese ain't no punk, man. Like, it just sturdied a bunch of intestines.
So I made the prediction. I said, Milwaukee, I'm going to pick them to win because I think they'll be the healthiest team, because the last 5 years I've been watching these teams fall apart. But the funny part was, Marcus, I swear to God, I picked against them every night. They're one of those things where macro, I love them. Micro, I hate them because they drive me nuts. I can't trust Giannis. Chris Middleton, I thought, played his ass off. But it's interesting. So I think Milwaukee's actually a tough matchup for Atlanta. Like, that could be a quick series. They can go finesse. They can pound it. They can put Drew on Trey. They don't have much of – I mean, I think that could really quick series, Milwaukee in five. That's how I see it. From afar.
I thought the same for Philly, though. I'm a little bit weary about writing off Ice Trey. That dude is different. There's something different about him. Like, the moment, and this is a team that's been kind of like under a bit the whole year. Like nobody, like nobody really believes in Atlanta. Like it's for real. Like they are just making up the chip on their shoulder. Like it's really there. I thought the Knicks would handle them. I was certain Philly would beat them. So it's like, and you know what? I don't trust Mike Budenholzer either. Like I don't trust him. I don't trust him to make the adjustments. He, if not for Kevin Durant wearing 18, they're at home because he refused to double and he's leaving Kevin Durant 101, like, which is suicide. So I'm with you. I'm with you. The matchup, terrible for Atlanta. On paper, doesn't look good. But I'm nervous about their potential unclutchness. And Trae Young is different. He was scared to lay it out to me. So how about this? Bucks and six. I'm gonna give him a little extra benefit instead of Bucks at five. You closer to sweep though. You ready to sweep? You give him a gentleman sweep.
Well, I think, God, you're just talking about Milwaukee's got guys who have been around this league for a long time.
Oh yeah.
You're talking about dogs and Drew and PJ Tucker. And you know, Philadelphia is a team that Philadelphia lack confidence. Milwaukee may lack artistry. They don't lack confidence.
Nah, they ain't scared.
They'll go right at Atlanta. Well, let's segue over to the West. I got to tell you, I was talking to a pretty good source inside the Clipper building, and he goes, listen, man, we match up pretty well with Phoenix. We're older. We're bigger. We've been in these big games. But I got to tell you, you know, it's lightning in a bottle. Last year in the bubble, Miami, not a great team, caught lightning in a bubble. I'm watching Phoenix today, being Sunday, and I thought to myself, Marcus, shit, man, they're not this good. They think they're this good. Because, I mean, we all love Chris Paul. So you take Chris Paul out, and I know Booker's a baller, but I'm watching him, and I'm thinking, Mikal Bridges is almost playing above DeAndre Ayton now. He may be playing a little above.
Not a little.
It's incredible. Like I think sometimes in sports it happens, Marcus. Like a team just believes. I think Phoenix is the best team in basketball right now. That's my takeaway.
I put them in the finals before the playoffs started. I was largely predicting LeBron. I thought it would be LeBron in his high ankle sprain. I was afraid. I was like, yeah, that troubles me. But it turned out to be AD who wasn't healthy. Surprise, surprise. But they just have too many parts. And where are these role players coming from? I feel like they have this factory, this conveyor belt of good role players. Like Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, Torian Craig, Campaign. Where Campaign? Where does he come from? Like, who is this guy? Cam Johnson. They just keep running them in there. I was like, who is this team? Where do they come from? You're right. Like, Devin Booker, it believes he's a superstar. And he's been a superstar, and he's showing it. But this, look, Clippers lost, but that wasn't, like, they were right there with him. Blow for blow, bar for bar. They took some bad shots at the end, but they also were fatigued. You could see it. They just played two nights ago while Phoenix were rested. This could be a good series, and there's a high probability that Chris Paul comes back and Kawhi doesn't, right? Which means Phoenix might get a little bit of bolster of resources. I think this is a good matchup. The difference for me is DeAndre Ayton. He is playing out of his mind.
Incredible.
It's unbelievable. It's almost like everything you thought about him that made him the number one pick clicked this year in the playoffs. It was like Anthony Davis first round, Nikola Jokic the second round, and nobody's fazed him. And look at him today. Like Devin Booker can do all his weaving because the moment you bring extra to him, DeAndre Ayton is going to catch the ball. He's going to dunk it every time. It's incredible how much he's grown. Like he's a monster. Like he is, and he's playing way above his head. If this is who they are, they're it's done. They're going to win a championship.
What's funny? If do you remember Marcus DeAndre Ayton's first year? He was a little lost at times.
Very lost.
There were people saying he was a bust. I mean, there were people that were out on because he was a dominant college player at Arizona. And I remember hearing people like scouts. They're like, I don't know, he's lost. And by the way, this is where a Chris Paul is so great. He can cinch everything together. He's so smart. But you know what I like about them? Everybody always talks about positionless basketball because LeBron's the Swiss Army knife and Kevin Durant can do everything. But they're actually constructed like an 80s team. True point guard with a legitimate backup. So Chris Paul only has to play 31 minutes. Two athletic wings, one old, Crowder, one young. A rim protector who can move. And then they have bench players. And they have a star guard. If you look at how they're built, it's not positionless. Everybody's got a defined role. And for me, as a fan, I like watching them play. It feels almost like 80s and 90s basketball. They're not positionless. They all have it. They know exactly what they do and who they are.
And the beauty of it is they can switch up the style of play. For me, what makes them so appealing is the diversity. Like they can go half court. They can walk you down and mid-range you to death. Yeah. Right. Or they could go small and just run. They got horses like Bridges and Booker. Ayton is not slow. They can play that way. They like, you know, styles make fights, right? They can contrast however you want to play. It's exciting to watch. They've got and they've got you're right. They're much more like the Barkley Suns, right? Than the 76ers or less Nash Suns, right? They're like just how they're set up. It is a very traditional, even like the sizes, right? They don't have a player who's too small or too big for his position, right? Like everybody's like the height they're supposed to be, which is a little weird.
The backcourt's perfect. So I have this distribution first veteran point guard who can score, but he's a throwback. He plays defense, he yells at people, and he hits mid-range. He's like an 80s guard. But we all know that Devin Booker's the true scoring guard. So that's a perfect backcourt.
And he's like 6'5", right? Like, he's not little. Yeah.
And then you have a backup to the veteran point who can spell him for about 12 minutes a game. So, like, if you go back to the 80s and in, like, the Laker teams, there was the Norm Nixon. There was the Byron Scott. There was the Magic. There was the Cooper. You always had this role. And they all had roles. Cooper played defense. Magic distributes. Nixon could shoot. Like, you know, the whole positionless thing. I nothing against it. But, yeah, that's because LeBron and KD can do everything. But most players do one or two things exceptionally well. Like, everybody's trying to make Giannis a three-point shooter. Cut that shit out. He's a big. Like, he is – within 6 feet, he's unstoppable. Outside of it, let him shoot. Like, let guys do what they do.
Pay him to shoot, right? Like, he's pulling up with 20 seconds of the shot clock. Like, please, would you stop that? And that's, you know, Ayton, right? You don't see him dancing on the perimeter.
Nope.
Trying to chuck threes. Trying to – like, he's like, yo, I'm 6'11". And I'm a beast, so you about to get this work. So there's – and look, Monty Williams is an old-school guy, right? So, you know, they're getting a bit of that feel and that vibe. It's that is a very unique take. They are old. They're an old-school team. This is like Afro and Butterfly Collar type team. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had throwback. It's like 80s night, 70s night. In Phoenix every night. Like, and the crowd is even throwback, right? Like, they got the Rockets situation going. They're fighting in the crowd like a Raiders game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, this is actually a good throwback team. And look, they got the two best mid-range shooters in the game, and Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Like, they are literally killing teams with jabs and body blows, right? Like, just all game long. Like, this is throwback. Kevin Johnson will be proud. Dan Marley would be proud somewhere. Like, I'm only making the threes that are created for me. That's it. I'm not making 30-footers off the dribble like everybody else.
So I think we both agree Milwaukee should beat Atlanta. I think I'm going to go with Phoenix, but to your point, I think it's a long series. I think both these coaches are really capable. These guys, Ty Lue did a great job. You know, it's funny. Everybody was banging on Quinn Snyder. My takeaway is, when you're a guard-dependent team and Conley came into the series hurt and Donovan was hurt by game two, you're not beating the Clippers.
That's a wrap,
it's a wrap. They're just not going to beat him. So, you know, he should have taken Rudy Gobert off the court, tried to go smaller. But, I mean, that's what they are. That's what the Jazz are. But I do think we both agree Clippers-Suns is going 6 or 7. Like, it's a real series.
Yeah, I'm not – like, I think Paul George is incredible. I think we like to make fun of him, but in the end, he's a really good player.
And oh, yeah.
He's a monster. Ty Lue is kind of like the opposite of Budenholzer. He will adjust in a heartbeat, right?
Yes.
He's making that – like, okay, I figured out what we're going to do. Let's switch. Let's do it right now. So I like him on the bench figuring out how they're going to counter this stuff, right? How they're going to do it. So, yeah, I do think you're in a slugfest. I wonder, will the Phoenix Bucks NBA Finals be a draw? Are we good?
Okay, it's funny you say that. But and I said this the other day on TV. I said, we think it's all big markets and stars, but shit, Brooklyn didn't get ratings from their home fans this year. The teams that draft and develop players get better ratings. That's just the numbers this year. I think people thought the Michael Jordan Utah Jazz series wouldn't get a number, but it was a great story. Michael's career is yes. And I look at this, and I've been saying this, Joy Taylor and I talk about this on the air. I'm like, these are good stories. Brooklyn falling, Milwaukee finally, the Simmons disaster. I think Phoenix is a captivating story. I think the Clippers are interesting. So that all these injuries, Marcus, have created all this drama. And I got to tell you, I think Milwaukee-Phoenix, I think it's a good story. And it's got enough star power for me to watch. It really does.
I'm captivated by these respective fan bases who are starving for this, right? And it reminds me of when the Warriors first went, right? After 40 years. And it was like, there's a certain energy that everybody kind of like it's magnetic towards, right? Like you're like, oh, okay, yo, it's crazy in Phoenix, right? It's wild right now in Phoenix. Like, yo, you know, like you kind of get that vibe where you want to watch. Also, like the draft point is really good because we've watched a lot of these guys like grow up in a sense. We've watched them fail. We've watched what they couldn't do. We watched them get better at it. We watched Giannis still try to shoot threes like he Kobe or something, right? But Devin Booker wasn't this good always. He's developed his game and we followed him. So yeah, this is the who can have their Jordan crying on the ground moment, right? Like I finally did it, right? Finally, after all this time, it's either going to be Giannis or it's going to be Chris Paul, right? Or it's going to be Devin Booker, who had never won anything before this and has been trying to tell everybody, I'm a star. And now he gets to prove it. In that sense, it's very fresh, right? There's something fresh about this. This is like a mint julep, right? Like this is like a great fresh drink. We get a palate cleanser, you know, because you know what's not here. LeBron stands arguing with Steph stands and people tearing down each other off silliness. It'll be all fresh, and we'll get to create new reasons to hate on each other. And we need some new reasons after a pandemic.
All right, I want to do some topics with you. You're incredibly tied in not only to the NBA but the Warriors. And you start looking at the Ben Simmons situation. There have been a lot of rumors about, you know, Simmons could fit Golden State. They don't need his shooting. They need his defense. Yeah. They need his size because they can get small and they could ship like Wiseman, Andrew Wiggins, multiple picks. Do you buy that Simmons Warriors rumor at all?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're into Simmons that much. I think there's a split. There are some people who are like, man, give me that much talent, I'll make it work. But I think the Draymond problem is a big concern. They already have a guy who's kind of like that, right? But Draymond is like he's definitely more aggressive offensively. But he doesn't stick to three. You don't have to guard him like that. So I think they're concerned about putting two of those guys together. I don't know if they pull the trigger, but at this point, look, Colin, the price ain't what it used to be. So it might be like, yo, I got this Mercedes for you for $500. It's like, who wouldn't take it, right? At some point.
Right.
Right. Like, it's like, yo, I mean.
No, I talked about this the other day. I said, Embiid, once a big gets hurt, you better move him early. He's just going to lose market value every injury. Listen, I love Embiid. He's the closest thing I've seen to Shaq, but I'm not giving you a ton for him. I'm baking in his injuries. I'm just going to say as a GM, brother, where do you want me to go on that? This is not a 9-year player. This may not be a 4-year player.
Facts, yeah. I think the price is dropping. Not just because, like, you got the injuries with Embiid. You got the fact that he just didn't close. And this is not the first time. He didn't close out Atlanta. And wherever he goes, you know he's a guy who's going to want the ball. Ben Simmons stock way down, right? You can't play him at the end of games. Though I wonder, if he hung out with Clay, would this be an issue? Klay would have him shooting free throws at 80% rate. Like, hang with Klay is a life solution. Klay right now is swimming in the Bay Area in the literal Bay. Put Ben Simmons with Klay for an offseason. I bet you he shoot 80% from free throw line.
Well, also, Simmons can give you 19 to 22 a game as long as you don't have a dominating big clogging it up. So
that's why he's perfect. That's why he's perfect. You got Klay, you got Steph, you got Draymond, and they're pushing it. He's incredible in transition. Like, you're not asking him to do this. And also, it's not clashing with the big guy who needs to be posted. Unless, you know, somehow Steve Kerr decides that, yo, we're going to turn James Wiseman into Joel Embiid, but I don't think that's happening at all. But I think Simmons is a fit in the sense that he can play the Warriors style and you don't need a shooting. I just wouldn't give up a lot for him after what we just saw. Now it's like I got some used Air Jordans and you know what I'm saying? Maybe Wiggins, right? Like,
I give Wiggins and Wiseman.
That's a lot. That was the price before. What was the price for James Harden? It was like a pick or.
Okay, how about Wiggins, Wiseman, and you give me your first round pick? I get the Sixers' number one pick, but I'll give you Wiggins, Wiseman.
And Simmons? Simmons.
I get Simmons.
I'd do that.
Okay, so that's what I would do. I give me Simmons in your first pick. I don't think Wiseman fits the Warrior style. Marcus, I don't. It's weird. It doesn't work to me.
Nah, he's not that type of guy, and they didn't play him like that type of guy. Here's the problem, and maybe Ben Simmons is the answer to this. He doesn't look like it anymore. They just have to start preparing for life after Steph. And maybe they don't, right? Maybe Steph is like, yeah, cut that out. I got 5 years left. And it's like, all right, whatever. And that's why I'd trade Wiseman if I got the shot. If I get something good for him, I'd trade him. They're a little bit like, no, but they're thinking about what do we do when the orbit of our universe is no longer that guy. And the part of them probably thought that would start this year. And then Steph goes out and he looks amazing. And it's like, oh, we got more time. So they have to think about it at some point, but he's not a fit. He can learn to be a fit, but that ain't next year.
No, Wiseman. Yeah, Wiseman's timeline doesn't fit Klay and Steph's.
It doesn't match at all. So
Simmons,
I wouldn't be surprised with it. No question. You give me a lineup with Steph, Simmons, Draymond, Klay, and pick the fifth guy, somebody who can shoot. That you're going to swarm. They're going to run a floor. They can defend. They got two of the best shooters in history. Like, it would be pretty potent. It would be pretty potent. And then at the end of the game, when it's 5 minutes left and you got to get a bucket, you don't need Ben Simmons to carry you, right? Like, he's catching the lob. He's finishing in transition. He's not like, yo, what was with Philly, by the way? Every single thing is an ISO. Every single thing is an ISO. It's like, y'all ain't. Can y'all do a 5 seconds of Princeton offense? Can we get a back cut of some kind of motion or something? Like, it's not working. It's game seven. You hear against the Hawks because it ain't working. Why are you isolating Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid from the hash mark at 28 feet away? It was ridiculous. Ben Simmons would do none of that on the Warriors. Probably ever. Never. Steve Kerr's like, yeah, dude, pass the ball, set a screen, please.
Yeah. So two issues in the NBA, the Luka situation in Dallas and the Zion situation with the Pelicans. Now, they feel like two different situations to me. The Pelicans aren't going to be there long, and I don't think Zion and his family want to waste 6 years like AD did. That feels different. The Luka situation, it's really interesting, Marcus. Mark Cuban told me that when they drafted Luka, they were getting a better Dirk and better much sooner. And they don't want to waste 9, 10, 11 years like they did with Nurk. They're not going to make the same mistakes. So Donnie Nelson butchered the draft where he got Dennis Smith because Donovan Mitchell was 4 picks later. And then he butchered the Porzingis deal because he's wildly overpaid for a 2, which he's not. He's a 3 or a 4.
A 5.
So, I don't have a problem with Donnie Nelson gone. And Rick Carlisle is 61, and he and Luka had tension. I don't have a problem with him being gone. But I wonder this, and this is something I've wondered for years. Marcus, maybe it's a football state. Maybe Cuban's too big of a star. They don't land free agents. And Luka's too good to wait for a draft pick to develop. They got to go get a dog. And I don't know what it is. What do players tell you about Dallas? Nobody goes there.
I mean, I'm sure that's something to do with Texas, right? Like, from what I hear, it's a lot of, do you want to live in Texas? Well, we have this thing out in the Bay, you know, because it's so expensive, right? And people are like, oh, man, for that amount, I get this big house in Texas. And the response is always, but you got to live in Texas. I do think there's a cultural disconnect there, yep. Right? I do think that's a big deal. I got so many family. My family's from Houston, and a lot of them live in Dallas. They always tell me I'm crazy to not leave the Bay Area, but I get it. Like I see it. You're watching TV. You got the corner of your eye watching what's going on in the world. It probably, you know, where you kicking it at? Like where's the hang? You know what I'm saying? Like it just Dallas just doesn't seem like the pop. Is this like urban center? I don't even know if that's even accurate. But you're right. That it's also why everybody had to go, because you can't lose Luka. You just can't. Like you can't. Nobody's coming there. Nobody's coming there. And your only hope is if you got Luka, somebody decides to team up with Luka. But you're right. It's a great place that people aren't running to. It's not even a small market. Like it's huge. Like this is a major metropolitan.
Beautiful women, no state tax. You're in the middle of the country, so you never have a 5.5-6 hour flight.
Correct. Yeah.
Everything's that you don't have to. Portland, 3.5 hours.
And your money goes longer, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would make a lot of sense. For some reason, they cannot get free agents. They get them like a little bit past the prime. You know, the Jason Kidd types, right? Like
now. There are a lot of people like Luca wore out Rick Carlisle. Luca's barking at people. Luca and his technicals. There's an argument to be made that Luca doesn't get along with Porzingis, that he's a little enigmatic. Like, have you heard that?
Yeah, he is. Luca's a superstar, and he knows it. And it's how superstars are, right? I think that's what they more than anything, they need to get somebody in there to say, hey, here's how we do things. Luka, you're incredible. You're going to be a Hall of Famer. We're going to take you to a whole nother level. But you're not about to run this thing, right? And there's a price to pay later when you don't get these players into the right mindset, right? When a player is thinking, I'm going to get you up out of here, it's just not good for the whole chemistry of things. And we've seen that throughout the league. Somebody's got to get to him. And it ain't Rick Carlisle, right? Clearly. And Rick Carlisle's got a ring, by the way. You're not listening to Rick Carlisle. The question becomes, who are you listening to? And you see Stan Van Gundy's right. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I'm not sitting around here trying to coddle these kids. Like, I'm a veteran, right? So they need somebody in there who can grow with Luka, because he's clearly, even with the refs, right? Like, he's clearly like, yo, I'm a diva. And here's how it should be, and I know who I am, and I know what y'all need from me, and so I'm going to kind of get my way. But that makes it tough to build. It makes it tough to win, and that stuff shows up in the Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals. That shows up in the big moments, right? That's where it shows up. It don't show up in the regular season. It shows up in the moments you need it, when you need these guys, and you need, you know, somebody to tell you, you are playing the wrong way. Let's get this straight. So there's some potential there, but somebody's got to take control of that situation. The coach and the GM out, everybody knows this is Luka's squad, right? This is Luka's squad. Like, hey, you come in, you answer to Luka, you kiss the ring, and that makes a lot of sense. But somebody's got to be there who's like, yeah, nah, B, this is not how it's going down. And I'm telling you this because I think you can be great and we could really win here. They need somebody like that in there. They need like a Chris Paul type. Who could that be? Somebody to be like, hey, Luka, how about you pass the ball? How about you go stand over there this time? I got this. They really need that. So something pretty tough. And I don't know how they're going to get it. I really don't know how they're going to get it.
No, Mark Cuban in an interview acknowledged that they got to have somebody that spells him 6 minutes a half so he doesn't have to become James Harden and literally so ball-centric. I mean, you watched them against the Clippers. He was dying at the end of these games.
And he's got to get in shape. Somebody's got to get him in shape, too. Got to get him in shape. Can't be acceptable.
What do you make of Zion's family in his ear? Like, listen, Gail Bent, I said this the other day, the Pelicans are Gail Benson's side hustle. It's a football family. They're great NFL owners. They have a great front office. The Pelicans, they bought them basically because they were people in Louisiana that could afford them. The NBA demanded the franchise stay. They pay $338 million. That's probably $150 million under what they were worth. They could sell them for four times as much. Gail Benson's losing money. The attendance isn't great. The ratings are terrible, even with Zion. You know, I said this. There's never been a player that didn't take the contract extension. And I said this 6 months ago. I said Zion could be the first because players now not only have NBA revenue streams and shoe streams, they have social media streams. They got three revenue streams. And I think if you put Zion in a Los Angeles or a New York, Marcus, I think he makes the money back. I think he's the first player that can do it.
In New York? Woo! Zion in New York would go nuts.
Crazy.
This is one of those situations where I'm like, what are we doing? We all know how this is ending. He's not playing 15 years in New Orleans. So what are we doing? What are we doing here? Like he, I'm with him. I'm not in Zion's family, but I'm in Zion's family on this one. Like, yo, I don't even know why they didn't freeze the envelope from the beginning. Like, what are you doing, Adams? this is the time to do it. Like, get the guy in New York. What are we doing here? This is not a place for professional basketball. New Orleans is an incredible city. You go to New Orleans, Saints, LSU, French Quarter, and nobody remembers anything after that, right? Like this.
Right.
It's not like I've been there. I've been there a million times. Incredible city. Nobody cares about the Pelicans. Like, and look, yes, they do got a nice little crowd there, but that's not what makes you billions in the NBA. It's not. I'm sorry. The people in the arena are not where the billions come from. The people in the arena are lit. They're loyal fans. They out there. They got their little colored T-shirts on and everything. They're throwing beat. It's great. I was in there when it was Steph, you know, his little thing. And I was like, yo, New Orleans is kind of lit. That's not what does it. Are people turning on their TVs to watch it, right? Like, are casual fans into it? And that's just what New Orleans doesn't have for basketball. Doesn't make them a bad city. It just means you don't need to be squandering one of the great stars of the league, potentially, in a place where nobody's going to see him. Like that for me just makes the most sense. Like you said, they're not going to be there. It doesn't make sense. Or keep them on the team and hurry up this Seattle expedition. Like, you know, send Zion to Seattle with them. Do that.
I think the best case scenario, you hire Chauncey Billups and then Mike Krzyzewski as a consultant. And for 2 years, you kind of placate the situation. You make it work. And then if I'm Zion, maybe I sign a 1 year extension if I could do that. But I think he looks at AD. I mean, listen, Chris Paul, I looked it up last week. He wanted out. AD wanted out. Zion's family wants out. We know the game here. This is not where stars want to play.
No, it's not. And that's cool if you want to have a team and just be like, you know, the mid-major. Like, yeah, but if I'm the ownership of New Orleans, I'm like, this is not the fight I'm fighting for right here. It's just a keep basketball. Like, hey, basketball matters in New Orleans. It's just LSU, right? It's not
right.
It's not the Pelicans, right? It matters the basketball games that happen at halftime of the football game. Like, that nobody cares in New Orleans. It just doesn't matter.
Listen, New York's a great city. It doesn't scream college football. New Orleans does
not scream
NBA. The
Bay is like
NBA.
That, too. We got Stanford and Cal. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. We'll watch.
It's a pro town.
Absolutely. We're pining for a WNBA team out here, right? And nobody's going to like, I mean, Stanford women's basketball is about as big as it gets out here for college, right? That's,
yeah.
But like the ratings aren't like going crazy. It's just, that's how some towns are. Like, and it's fine. Right. It's all good. New Orleans is an incredible city that cares more about the Saints than anything else. And that's all good, but that's not where Zion should be. Not for my money. I'm with Zion's family on this one. Get my boy to New York, if that's what I'm saying. Get him out of there. And what's stopping anybody from saying the money you'll lose by not signing, I got you. What you want? What you want? Ethereum? You want some Bitcoin? What you want? What you want, Zion? We can make up that difference. I got a little Dogecoin.
You know very well when Durant went to Golden State. They hooked him up with some Silicon Valley guys.
Can't tell me otherwise.
You know they did.
The funny part is it doesn't even have to be a transaction. It's just like, yo, I'm about to introduce you to this person. And then you go from there because all of them are like, oh my God, it's Steph Curry. I want to meet Steph. Like I have $78 billion. But you know what I would really love to do? I love to meet Andre Iguodala. I'm gonna make the meeting happen, right? Like, and there's no like paperwork, but now you in, right? So I've been thinking like, if they're not doing it, they're crazy for not doing it, because that's what I would be doing. Like, don't worry about this little mid level. Nah, I'm gonna introduce you to the guy who runs LinkedIn. I got you. That's my sales pitch.
Yeah, I don't know what's legal and what's not, but the reality
is it's not
is
legal. By the way,
you can make.
It's not legal.
Well, there's a lot of things not legal. I grew up in Washington State. It wasn't legal to smoke pot in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
But, and you didn't, know. Right? You followed the law like a...
Mostly.
He's like, no, it wasn't pot. It was
mostly. Something else. I was mostly legal. Marcus Thompson. God, I love having you on. It's just, you're so conversational. You're so
great.
Hey,
so can I ask you something? Can I... I'm going to have to... Is it all right if I borrow your... I want to borrow the Phoenix as a traditional team setup.
Well, I read your books and take shit out of there. So
I might, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. As you said it, I was thinking about it. I was like, yo, that might be a good column. I might, and then you know how I'm a newspaper guy at heart. At the bottom, you would put Colin Cowherd contributed to this article, but you probably would,
you don't have
probably,
to.
You probably wouldn't get that, but it would be there in my head.
Hey. That's all I need. The acknowledgement.
That's a good one. I like that.
Great seeing you. Great having you on, buddy.
I love being on with you, man. You're the best. I appreciate it.
How good is Marcus? He's one of my favorite people in the business. As good as they get. Follow at The Volume Sports on Twitter and Instagram. Rate, review, subscribe. That was a great 40 minutes. Kick butt. Have a great Monday.
The volume.